I want to take a break from the podcast right now, and I want to give you a gift. And I want to do that to thank you for being a listener. I put my heart and soul into this podcast. I love interviewing today's experts, researchers, MDs, psychologists, sleep trainers, you name it. I hope you feel inspired to take care of yourselves and your families. And I just want to thank you for being a listener and hanging out with me. So the code PODCAST10 is going to give you a one-time $10 off code at kellylevesque.com, your next order of protein powder. You can either use that on my grass-fed beef isolate protein or on my new vegan chocho bean protein. Now, here's what I love about my protein powders. It's 3 ingredients or less. So we don't use fillers, emulsifiers, no fortified vitamins or minerals. It's easy to digest and naturally made without any enzymes or chemicals like hexane. So it's 3 ingredients. With my grass-fed beef isolate, that's 100% grass-fed beef, and it's made in the way that you would make bone broth. So just heat and water. And we dehydrate that end product to get that collagen-rich protein powder that your whole family can drink. It can be added to coffees, to smoothies, and you can get it in vanilla, chocolate, and unflavored. I want to point out that my vanilla and chocolate is made with organic vanilla bean, organic cacao, and the only sweetener used is organic monk fruit. We don't use any maltodextrin. Our monk fruit is 100% ground monk fruit, and it's organic. And with my vegan line, I'm so excited to have launched this and to have it out into the world. It's a regenerative bean from South America called the chocho bean. And the chocho bean is the most superior plant-based protein powder you can get your hands on, because not only is it a complete protein, but the process is made with heat and water only. They're crushed and soaked, and what that end product results in is an anti-nutrient-free protein powder. So you're not gonna have any lectins, phytates, or oxalates in your protein powder. Makes it super easy to digest, and it's really, really delicious and robust in cooking as well. So I love it if I want a thicker smoothie or a smoothie bowl. And I also love it in my baked goods, from my cookies to my muffins, pancakes, and breads. It's the perfect protein addition. So if you want to give either of these proteins a try, or you've already been purchasing these proteins and want to take advantage of this special deal, the code PODCAST10 is going to get you $10 off for being a listener here at the Be Well by Kelly podcast. So head to kellylevesque.com or bewellbykelly.com. Put the protein you'd like to purchase in your cart and use the code PODCAST10 for $10 off. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in.
You change that metabolic breakfast to cinnamon in your coffee or your matcha latte, whatever that is, and it's a protein-rich, healthy fats and fiber. And then that really just sets the tone. Now you're not hangry and starving at 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. and just waiting to get to lunch. And then you're not having that 2:30, 3 o'clock energy crash that you just, the only way out of that pit of exhaustion is sugar and caffeine, right? Like that metabolically healthy breakfast, just getting rid of the cravings alone, it will change your life.
Dr. Marisa Snyder is a functional practitioner, a women's health expert, and the author of 8 books. Her newest book, The Essential Oils Menopause Solution, focuses on solutions for women in perimenopause and menopause. Today's episode goes through ways to ease your way into transitions later in life, how to live with vitality and abundance. And Dr. Marisa Snyder is the expert in all of this. For the past 12 years, she has lectured at wellness centers, conferences, and corporations on hormone health, essential oils, nutrition, and detoxification. And she's been featured on Dr. Oz, Oprah, and MindBodyGreen. Dr. Marisa is also the host of a top-rated Essentially You podcast designed to empower women to become the CEO of their life. Let's welcome Dr. Marisa to the show. All right, Marisa, welcome to the show. I have been looking forward to this podcast swap after being a guest on your podcast, the Essentially You podcast. I had such a good time getting to know you, and I felt like we were on the same page about so many things. And so it's just a pleasure to have you on my show.
Oh yeah, girl, we were such soul sisters on that show, just in such alignment. And so I'm really grateful to be here today and getting to serve your amazing community.
Well, I think you're serving your community and you're soon going to serve mine being here in such an amazing way, teaching everyone about metabolic health and how important it is to hormone health and to your experience going through perimenopause and eventually menopause, and how we can go into that stage of life in a really, really vibrant way. So we're definitely going to get into that on the podcast today, but let's get started. Take me back
to when you decided to get into medicine, what you do, who you work with, and like how it all started.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, how it all really started for me was when I was 30 years old and I remember waking up 1, 7 a.m. morning, like I do every single morning. And I couldn't wake up. I couldn't get up off the bed. And it wasn't like it just happened out of nowhere, but definitely that day it felt so real and so tangible. I'm not sure if you've ever had one of those moments, Kelly, where you're just like, what have I done? Like, yeah, I was very concerned. I remember finally wheeling myself out of bed, crawling into the bathroom, trying to get myself ready because I had patients starting at 8, you know, come rain or shine, I was going to get there. And I think that mindset too was probably how I landed in this state of chronic fatigue. But I remember looking at myself in the mirror, even at 30, and thinking to myself like, oh my gosh, if you can't take care of yourself, how are you going to be able to take care of these incredible women, you know, dealing with a lot of what you're dealing with right now? And so that kind of got me on this road of really diving in to, you know, so much more than practitioners being, you know, telling their patients, you know, just stress less and eat fewer calories, you know. And I knew that there was so much more to it than that, because here I was at 30 and thinking that if I continued at this rate, I just didn't imagine, I couldn't imagine where I would be. And so it took me, I would say, a good solid year or two to really climb out of that level of what I now know was severe mitochondrial dysfunction, where I just did not have any energy to get by except for show up to work and then crash and burn once I got home at night. And I wanted to really figure out, like, one, how did I get here? And then two, like, what are ways in which that we can build ourselves up, take care of our bodies so that we're not struggling with hormone issues? And in that discovery, I had learned that majority of us at some point in time are going to have an hormone imbalance. And that as we start to shift and change, as our hormones change in perimenopause, even as early as our mid-30s, like, we have that opportunity to pivot with those changing hormones. And so that was kind of the big underlying lesson. Now, at the time, I thought it was cortisol. I thought it was my stress response system. And definitely there was a big part of that. But what I didn't realize is that I spent the majority of my 20s on a crazy one-way ticket on a blood sugar roller coaster, that I was basically endlessly chasing blood sugar spikes and crashes. And that eventually that just caught up with me in my early 30s. And so I'm really excited to have that conversation today as well. I know so often doctors are telling us, oh, it's just stress, or oh, you're not sleeping enough, or oh, it is, you know, your hormones, your menstrual cycle, whatever. But we're not actually looking at one of the biggest root causes for hormonal imbalance, which I believe is going to be blood sugar deregulation.
Definitely. Well, you've dropped a lot of knowledge bombs or keywords here in the, even in just the last few sentences. So I want to go back to your recognition that you had mitochondrial dysfunction, and you called it severe mitochondrial dysfunction. Can you explain what mitochondrial dysfunction is and how to identify it?
Absolutely. So your mitochondria, I just want to give a little bit of a background of what your mitochondria are and what they do. They are the powerhouses in every single cell in the body. And the average cell has about 2,000 to 3,000 mitochondria inside of it. And it literally drives every single reaction. You and I have in this conversation, you and I even just looking at each other, there's a lot of mitochondria at work to make that happen for us. And then when we look at the brain, we're looking at about 10,000 mitochondria. The ovaries, the most amount of mitochondria in both men and women is in our ovaries, is in our reproductive system. And no surprise, like the energy expenditure of having a child is just next level. And so no wonder we've got the most. So 15,000 mitochondria inside of our ovaries. And ultimately, our mitochondria are necessary for everything that we do. But if stress comes into play, or in any type of stressors, whether it's perceived stress, like you and I are in the same circumstance, but I find that very threatening, or it is metabolic stress, there's just a lot of sugar input into the system. I'll tell you what, mitochondria doesn't, they don't like a lot of sugar. They don't like to be gunked up. Yes, they need glucose to process energy into ATP, but they're divas in the sense that they like a specific amount and then they want a break. Also, consistently eating throughout the day can stress our system out. Not getting enough sunshine, stress, toxins. Over time, that just wears on our mitochondria, and they are very prone to kind of that stranger danger. Like if it's not Goldilocks for them, they start to shut down. And so over time, if a lot of these stressors and not, you know, not the right kind of stressors, like just the ones that are just bombarding us, the everyday modern lifestyle stressors, if those persist and persist, over time, those mitochondria shut down. And what you'll notice is all of a sudden, it's harder to get through the rest of the end of your day. Or maybe your brain isn't firing all cylinders. You've got bad word recall. But then as it progresses, maybe you notice that even getting up is challenging. And that is more on the kind of more severe, to the point where it's hard to get through the day consistently throughout the day. Like you get through the needful, but that is as far as it goes. Like you don't have a lot of room, maybe for your relationships or spending time with your family the way that you want, or maybe even working out after work. Like that's just a no-go because all you had in the tank was to just get through the things that you had to do. So I would say that's the level of more severe mitochondrial dysfunction. But I think everything when it comes to energy, it's whether your mitochondria are happy or not is really what it comes down to. And that's all tied to our metabolism and how we're taking care of our body.
Wow. So interesting. You know, I had Dr. Gundry on the podcast to talk about mitochondrial uncoupling and multiplying those mitochondria. But you are talking about kind of what gunks up the mitochondria, what slows it down. What are ways that we can heal our mitochondria, either through mitophagy, breakdown and rebuilding of mitochondria, mitochondria uncoupling? What are the ways that we can heal? What are the ways that you heal that? And I love that you were honest and about it taking a few years. Like I think people assume that this is just, oh, quick fix.
30 days.
Real quick. Yeah. 10 days to your perfect mitochondria. No. No. Can we talk about what you did on your road to healing and yeah, like the steps you took?
Personally? Absolutely. And I just want to in full transparency, I am still on that road to healing in a lot of ways. I'm always learning and adapting and shifting and changing. And I think that it's a lifelong journey. And it's really based on those daily non-negotiables for yourself. And so I got really clear on those non-negotiables back then because I had the vision that I would have I'd regain my energy. The first part of that was really nourishing my gut and my liver. So I swapped out the sugar at 2:30 and the sugar at 11:30 a.m. And I replaced that with foods that were going to nourish my gut. So I focused on clean proteins, a lot of fish, a lot of veggies. I was doing a lot of green smoothies. This was back in 2009. And I was really focusing on really healthy fats. And so I knew that I wanted to nourish my gut and livers. And I needed to sub out and swap out a lot of the processed foods and the sugar and the caffeine for foods that were going to nourish my body. The next thing I had to recognize was that I was living in a stress response system and that was constantly exhausting me. And that was probably the hardest thing to heal. Like I was able to swap out the supplements and swap out the food, but it was healing, the past traumas and it was the deeper work. And so for me, it was some of those non-negotiables were taking walks every single day that were just my own time. It was trading in crazy HIIT workouts for more relaxing walks and hikes. It was really getting a morning routine. You know, the talk track back then for me was that self-care was selfish and self-indulgent. And I definitely did not have time for any of that. And so I had to really shift my mindset around that what was a non-negotiable for my thriving, which is really to focus on me. And that all started with my morning routine. So if there was anything that I really shifted for myself was that I really started fully devoting my morning routine to me. So before I ever got into my phone or I looked at my patient's schedule, I would go and take a walk. I would make a tea or a green smoothie. And I would, I would really breathe it out and get clear on my intention for the day because I always felt like I was running like a Tasmanian devil with lip gloss on. Like I was racing out the door and knew that a lot of my day looked like that. I think one of my favorite quotes by Louise Hayes is how you start your morning is how you live your life or how you live your day and how you live your day is how you live your life. And I was like, oh my gosh, my morning is pure chaos. No wonder my day and my life feels that way. And so those were the things that I started to implement. I didn't know a lot about how to heal mitochondrial dysfunction then. I just knew that self-care needed to be a piece of it because clearly what got me there wasn't going to get me better. But I now know more about what actually heals the mitochondria than I did then. Things like circadian fasting, giving yourself at least a 12-hour break between dinner and breakfast. I know that getting outside in sun, your mitochondria love the sun. They love the vitamin D. Taking cold showers. getting in the sauna, kind of mixing it up in terms of temperature. Specific supplementation can really help. Minerals like magnesium, really important cofactors like acetyl L-carnitine or CoQ10. Those are really big cofactors for driving mitochondrial function. And then also, you know, really creating a situation where you're moving your body in a way that feels good to you is great for your mitochondria. And then clearly reducing the amount of hydrogenated fats, sugar, and things that are going to gunk up the mitochondria. Those are some simple things that we can do to really help support our mitochondrial function.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so for you going down this road of getting serious about your morning routine, cleaning up your nutrition, lowering processed foods and sugars that gunked up your mitochondria, and you said specifically focusing on gut and liver health. So can we talk about what you're doing to support your liver health?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, please. I think, you know, those two organs are so critical. They go hand in hand, especially as we enter into perimenopause. And we really need to make sure that those two systems are working properly to clear excess, you know, hormone metabolites. The things that I'm doing it's really a lot on my plate. I'm kind of similar to you. I just love the Fab Four. You know, we focus a lot on metabolically healthy meals. And what that looks like for us is a diverse array of veggies and fruits throughout the week. We aim for, I would say, 30 plus different types of vegetables and fruits. Fiber is the name of the game in my family, and a lot of cruciferous vegetables. So we use broccoli sprouts. We use all types of microgreens in our salads, in our smoothies, all different types of herbs as well, like cilantro and basil, and just making sure that we have a diverse array of lots of green leafy veggies, and then also really fibrous driven veggies as well. Also, we focus on, when it comes to supporting the liver and gut, a lot of fermented foods. So, you know, we have kimchi in the house. We've got beet sauerkraut. We've got cabbage sauerkraut. It's with every single meal. We don't really do a lot of kombucha. I find a lot of kombucha is very sugary. So we tend to focus on the real fermented foods. And then we focus on healthy fats, walnuts, flax seeds. We like to add these things to our salad. Avocado is a fan favorite in my house. Salmon, fatty fishes, just making sure that we're getting these really good omegas that are feeding our microbiota, and then also helping to support our brain cells, all of our cells, right? Because we're literally coated in fat everywhere. And then the other piece is going to be making sure that we're getting a lot of the protein sources as well. So, and we really focus on a lot of fish in my family, and that's kind of our big place. And so we build a lot from our plate. And so the more diverse we can make it, very, very plant heavy, we are not only supporting that our liver, but we're also supporting the gut microbiome as well. So I think that's a great first place for all of us to start there. And then I do take supplementation to support my liver as well. B vitamins, choline, magnesium, kind of the basics. I'm still breastfeeding, so I want to keep my nutritional profile really great. But I also want to make sure in this particular age that my liver is functioning properly. So it's a part supplementation, but I know that the majority of it really starts on my plate every single day.
Definitely. And when what you were explaining was fiber being the name of the game to remove hormonal metabolites, you know, getting rid of old estrogen out of your system to keep your hormones balanced. Can you talk about how we make and excrete hormones and how that can create a problem if we're not getting rid of old hormones and what imbalances you might see if someone isn't detoxing properly?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that, you know, our detox processing, I believe that every day should be a focus when it comes to detoxing, because it's what your liver and your gut is doing every single day. And, you know, even if we lived in glass bubbles, not plastic bubbles, because that would be a very toxic bubble to be in. But even if we lived in a glass bubble, we're still exposed to things all the time. You know, as healthy as my house is, there's you know, furniture in my home. And, you know, like there's just a lot of things that we're exposed to on the daily. And so I'm a big proponent of how can we detox the system on a daily basis that is easy and seamless, that kind of integrates into your everyday life. But I'll talk about hormones for sure. As you can imagine, girl, hormones rule the roost. They are our communication highway. They are the messengers of everything. And talking regarding mood, cognitive function, reproduction, metabolism, I mean, all the big heavy hitters here are being communicated and driven by our hormones. And some of our hormones are very, very powerful, especially as we navigate through our monthly cycle, right? Estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, major players here, our metabolic hormones like insulin and thyroid hormone. But again, you know, our liver is helping to build a lot of that. Our diet is helping to build a lot of these hormones all the time as well. But the liver, I always think of as a really big mainstay of who's helping to regulate what's going on with our hormones as well. And so an example of that, let's just focus on estrogen. You know, she's what I consider to be the queen bee. She's like the Beyonce of hormones. And she is a kind of a build you up hormone. She's a growth hormone. She is in charge of ensuring that you've got the proper flora and garden. If indeed you are preparing to get pregnant, she's building that in the uterus every single month. She's why you feel sexy and confident, you know, on top of with along with testosterone, those two work in tandem together. But also when estrogen is overabundant and it's not being checked by progesterone in that beautiful cycle that happens with our monthly cycle every single month, we can see things like other growths. Maybe we'll experience more bloating, or we see fat distribution on our hips and our thighs and our belly. Maybe we start to notice fibrocystic, like lumpy, painful breasts right before our cycle. And even as we get older, you know, 88% of women are going to have fibroids before they hit menopause. Most of us won't even know we have them. But some of us will. And that's just because if our liver isn't properly working properly and our gut isn't working properly, liver being phase one and phase two of detoxification, the gut being phase three, because here's the deal, you could package it in this beautiful packaging in phase one and two, and then your gut can actually unpackage it in phase three. So just note that everything could go great in the liver, and then we could accidentally make some mistakes here in the gut. And so when it comes to estrogen in particular, just as an example, we have to ensure it's being made. We're using it 24/7. And so it needs to be processed 24/7. It's not like there's like only on Mondays do we process estrogen over here. Mondays are the liver detoxification day. No, it's happening all the time. And as things start to shift and change in perimenopause, just by natural progression of the changes in our hormones, we're just going to become naturally more estrogen dominant over a little bit over time. And based on the way that our liver and gut is functioning, there can be a progression of that ever more so. So we see a lot of heavy bleeding in perimenopause, and we notice a lot of these symptoms that I just mentioned earlier. So ensuring that your liver is working properly outside of supplementation, because those can be really supportive. My recommendations to consider is, you know, again, getting good restful sleep, waking up in the morning, you know, big old glass of lemon water is so great to help start the digestive system. Maybe a little bit of apple cider vinegar with that. Use a straw. I don't want you to mess up your teeth. Next, be thinking about, again, how do we create a plate that is gut loving and liver loving, which I talked a little bit about. Fiber is the name of the game. Cruciferous veggies are the name of the game. Those are going to be super critical here. And then also be thinking about ways in which you can decrease, like walking outside, moving your body, moving your lymphatics. Dry brushing is a great thing to do. Activated charcoal at night, easy to take that, just to kind of give yourself a little kind of clean slate, making sure that you're taking your minerals. I would say those are the easiest things that I recommend doing on a day-to-day basis that are super easy to integrate that can really help give your liver a break. Other more like elevated, more kind of high-level things, castor oil packs are really great for the liver. I love those. Saunas, if you can have access to an infrared sauna, that's great for detoxification processes, but totally okay if you don't have access to a sauna. Reducing your toxic load in your home in general, you know, looking at your cleaning supplies, your personal care supplies, you know, doing a major inventory, I always say start with cleaning products, you know, and just kind of teasing out some of the things that could be disrupting your body and inside of your home. So those are the I would say the mainstays, the easy ways that we can help support our liver on a daily basis. I wouldn't necessarily say that you need to do a mega detox a couple times a year. If you feel it's necessary, by all means, but I think that it's more of a daily pursuit than it is like a, let's just knock this 7-day program out, you know, once or twice a year.
All right, let's geek out for a little bit, because rarely am I ever excited about a powdered superfood being added to my Fab4 smoothie. But as of January 2022, an amazing paper was published in JAMA, and this was a study on humans, and it was showing the effect of urolithin A supplementation on muscle endurance and, here's the kicker, mitochondrial health in older adults.
And here's what you should know. As you age, you're going to have an increase in mitochondrial dysfunction. And mitochondria is what produces energy. And so I'm so thankful that Timeline Nutrition exists. They are a Swiss-based life science company. They're the global leader in urolithin A research, and their products are NSF certified. So they have made this first postbiotic available to all of us. And clinical studies have shown that 500 milligrams of urolithin A alone significantly increases muscle strength and endurance with no other change in lifestyle. Like, that's all you have to do is add urolithin A to your next Fab Four smoothie. It's super easy to mix in. They have this amazing pink berry powder. So it's one of those things that I'm adding every day now. Timeline Nutrition is offering 10% off your first order of MitoPure. So you can go to timelinenutrition.com/Kelly or use the code Kelly to get 10% off. That's TimeLinenutrition.com/Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y. And I would recommend their starter pack as a way to check out the three formats. They have a berry powder, protein powder with berries, and soft gels. If you don't do smoothies, you still want to get the benefits of urolithin A for mitochondrial health, this is how you do it.
Definitely. Can you explain what a castor oil pack is, how you administer one, how often someone should be using it, like symptoms or like side effects, or kind of like what's actually happening when you use a castor oil pack? I think that's it. You know, not everyone has access to an infrared sauna, but castor oil packs are quite affordable. And so I'd love for you to unpack, pun intended, like what exactly it is, how it works, and like what people can expect.
Absolutely. So, you know, and I know a lot of people, you're thinking, you know, back in the day, people drank castor oil. So we're not talking about drinking castor oil in any way. And there are some really great packs on the market too that make it super seamless and easy. So, you know, and my relatively limited knowledge is not my area of expertise, but what I know about castor oil is that it has a lot of anti-inflammatory properties. And when we apply it to the liver, it can help open that hepatic portal, allowing toxins to move through our digestive system and our poop. And so what I've learned, I've worn one many, many, many times personally. And what I normally recommend, especially if you're noticing some congestion, and let's just talk a little bit about what does it look like to have liver congestion or a liver that's just not functioning at all cylinders. And I know we don't ever think about the liver. The liver isn't always on point. It's not the sexy organ to focus on, but man, she is working really hard. She deserves our attention. So things you may notice, one, energy, lagging energy, bloating. You may be noticing brain fog, noticing digestive issues, like a lot of gas, a lot of bloating, a lot of constipation as well. Other things you may be noticing is breakouts on your skin. Maybe it's acne, or maybe it's other types of rashes that you're dealing with. These are all symptoms. Maybe you're getting sick a lot. All symptoms of a liver that is not feeling super great. Also PMS symptoms and symptoms of estrogen dominance, whether it's migraines or it is, like I said, the fibrous lumpy breasts, the heavy, heavy periods, the PMS and moodiness, all signs to me that the liver could use a little love. And one of my favorite ways to do that, besides all of the daily recommendations that I made earlier, is by wearing a castor oil pack. And you can also even add, if you wanted, you know, maybe a little bit of frankincense oil, a little something to help booster it. But basically you put this pack, and you can get one that goes all the way around, super sexy, looks like a little liver apron. And you put a couple tablespoons of castor oil on it. That oil has the ability to go through, penetrate the skin into the liver and help really create some anti-inflammatory properties. What you do, if you wear this overnight, I recommend usually 5 to 7 days the first time you're wearing it. If you're really struggling with some congested liver issues, you'll notice that the texture, the smell, the changes of your bowel movements will be pretty evident, I would say, in the first couple of days. It won't smell so great in the beginning, but over the couple of days up to a week, you're going to notice a major shift and change, not only in how you feel. You notice little things, like maybe you'll just feel a little bit sharper, or maybe your energy will feel better, or you'll notice some of those digestive changes shifting, feeling more improved. But bowel movements is going to be the area that you're really going to see a difference. You're going to, things are going to just, it's, you're not going to notice smelly bowel movements. You're going to, things are going to be a lot more regular and consistent. And then once you kind of get through that 5 to 7 day phase, my recommendation is wearing a castor oil pack a couple times a month, kind of in a maintenance phase. Also, I recommend if you're struggling with a lot of, again, heavy periods, a lot of congestion in your uterus, clots, again, those estrogen dominant symptoms, I think it's really worthwhile to put a castor oil pack over your ovaries and your uterus. You're also going to notice if you're consistent with that, even a couple times a month, that your cycle is going to become more consistent. You're not going to notice as many PMS symptoms, and the bleeding will definitely be significantly, not I wouldn't call it lessened, but just it would feel like more of a normal period bleed.
Interesting. So, you know, I've seen and had clients that have used like heat packs and just done it for a couple of hours, but tell me a little bit more about this overnight. So it's just it's like wearing a big belly band. Belt.
Yes, it is.
Couple tablespoons of castor oil. That's all you need. Mm-hmm. You just put it on.
Yeah. It's so not sexy. Let me tell you, but it stays on. Even if you are I'm not a crazy sleeper. I sleep like a vampire, except I'm co-sleeping with my son. So now it is a little bit crazy, but yeah, it's not going to move with you. It's not going to make a big mess. I always recommend wearing a t-shirt that you don't really care a lot about, just in case you do have a little bit of leaking. And if you're super concerned too about your bedding and your sheets, have a towel underneath. Again, these are just precautions, but yeah, like you would wear it a couple hours a day while you're sitting at your computer. Same kind of thing. It's like you just put it on and forget about it. And then you just take it off in the morning the next day. And I recommend doing that for five to seven days. And that's where you really start to see major changes. There's nothing that in the research that I've read or in the literature that contraindicates doing this overnight. If anything, I've seen a lot of benefit. Even during pregnancy, I did not
No, I said other than pregnancy.
Yes.
You will have contractions. Do not do that.
Do not do it during pregnancy. Sorry. Yeah, that would be the one contraindication. Yes. Yeah. No, I did not wear a castor oil pack when I was pregnant.
No, please don't.
Yes.
And then can we talk a little bit about enemas and if you recommend coffee enemas or if you do enemas with your patients or practice in your practice?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And again, that falls under the more, I mean, it's all relative to people, what they're feeling comfortable with. Definitely a next higher tier of detoxification is enemas. And yeah, I think they're phenomenal. Coffee enemas, kind of similar. I mean, castor oil packs, obviously a little bit easier, a little less messy than an enema. But yeah, I love the idea of using coffee to open up that hepatic portal and to really draw out toxins inside of the liver. I would say if you're really struggling, once a week is usually my recommendation. I know people who do it more than that. I know people who do it less than that.
Once a week
is pretty good. Yeah. And then I would say quarterly is worthwhile.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So in general, let's get back to perimenopause because yeah. I know that's your sweet spot and your specialty is, you know, you wrote an entire book, The Menopause Solution. So let's talk a little bit about the hormonal changes that happen in perimenopause, how early it can start. What are some of the symptoms? Why are those symptoms happening? I don't think anyone was taught what really happens. It's just this black hole of like, when will this happen to me? What will happen? What are these symptoms? Why are they happening? What are the hormonal changes? Can you walk us through it all?
Absolutely. Okay. Let's start. I usually break it up into three phases. Okay. And you can call it three phases. You can call it pre-menopause, perimenopause, and then menopause. Totally up to you. But I'm going to break it up in phases. And what we're noticing is that it's happening a little bit earlier than it used to. And it has a lot to do with the lifestyle that we're living as well. The stress of what we're eating, the stress of perceived stressors, I would say women in particular, we juggle all the things. I don't know about you, but I am the common denominator in my family for everything. Everything goes through me. And, you know, that's a lot to have on your plate if you don't have the right non-negotiables in place to really protect your energy, to protect your body, to protect your self-care. And so we are noticing really because of a precipitous drop in progesterone, we're beginning to notice it as, you know, as early as our mid-30s. I know for me, progesterone was non-existent even before that. I had very extremely, what we called menopausal levels of progesterone in my early 30s. And I was already showing signs of perimenopause. When I got to 35, it was like someone Mack trucked me really hard. And what we know about our hormones is that testosterone is the most abundant in our 20s. and that it starts to wane precipitously, very slowly, even into our late 20s. Then we've got progesterone. And she's, I always say she's the hormone we take for granted. The thing about progesterone in that second part of our cycle, that luteal phase of our cycle, when she's robust, she is our protector when it comes to, you know, to stressors, especially perceived stress. Progesterone helps us to sleep. Progesterone helps us to manage our stress response system. She kind of eases anxiousness. I mean, she's such a magic superstar. And as she begins to wane in that first part of perimenopause, I would say mid to late 30s, all of a sudden we'll notice it's not like our cycle has changed necessarily. Maybe PMS symptoms are a little bit more robust. Mood swings a week before our periods, maybe some bloating, maybe some headaches, just feeling a little edgy. And then overall, as progesterone is dropping, we may notice that our stress resilience just isn't what it was. We're feeling more edgy. We're feeling more testy. Maybe we're just a little bit more triggered than we used to be. The other thing that I notice a lot in this stage as well is that sleep is not as easy as it was once. And so all of a sudden, if we start to lose that progesterone, it could just be hard to get to bed. Maybe we have a lot of that mental chatter that's going on. And this can happen into, I would say, our early to mid 40s. These are kind of the changes we're looking out for. And then also at this time, if we don't have robust metabolic flexibility, maybe we're noticing the pounds are coming on. Maybe we're noticing, you know, just the cravings, the brain fog is happening a little bit more. We're just all of a sudden that workout you used to do is just not, one, it's not cutting it. And two, maybe it's wearing you out. So that's what's really happening in this first phase. Then around, I would say between 42, I was 43, we start to notice not only has progesterone and testosterone significantly dropped, maybe under 50% of what you had, now estrogen is shifting as well. And it's at this point that your ovaries are really looking to start retiring out. So we're going to notice that ovarian function is decreasing. Maybe it's definitely not as easy to get pregnant anymore at this point. And you may start to notice that you're having an ovulatory cycles. Maybe a 30-day or 28-day cycle is dropping by 2 to 3 days. What was a 30-day cycle is now a 27-day cycle. And so my big recommendation at any point in your life is to be tracking your menstrual cycle. She is your vital sign. But most importantly, if you start to notice things are shifting, very much track your cycle so you get a good sense of what's going on with you. This is where really women feel it starts to get more challenging. I have 43, 44 is where so many of my patients are like, what is happening? They were able to ignore a lot of the first phase as just life happening to them. I remember my mom just telling me, you know, that's just how it is for women. You know, and I think that's a lot of what we're buying into is just, oh, this is just what happens. But you think about, you know, even our mid to late 30s into our 40s. Oftentimes, a lot of us have families. We're at the peak of our careers or setting feet into the peak of our careers. There's a lot of things that are happening all at the same time. It's no wonder it can feel like, oh, this is just par for the course. This is just how life is because I've got so much more going on. And we kind of ignore those cues. It's not until usually early 40s to mid 40s that we start to notice something's really shifting in us. And that's because ovarian function is definitely shifting. I would say though, Kelly, this is the time to dial in the metabolic function. This is time to really lock in our blood sugar levels because this is where I start to really see women experiencing signs and symptoms of insulin resistance. As we start to lose these protective hormones, estrogen and progesterone, we're really reliant on that metabolic flexibility to carry us through. And honestly, girl, we should have been relying on that metabolic flexibility the whole entire time, but now it's really critical. And so this is where we get to pivot as our bodies are pivoting. In an ideal scenario, we were eating metabolically healthy meals and doing our self-care in our 20s, maybe even earlier than that. But this is where women start to really notice like, oh my goodness, what the crash dieting or whatever I was doing back then just isn't pulling weight for me anymore. We really got to be able to focus on pivoting our body. And I'll talk about that in just a second. So then we start to see what estrogen being what was steady now kind of some months with an anovulatory cycle, we don't have any progesterone. And those months, we may see the next month, we may see a double up of estrogen. And so we start to see this kind of crazy roller coaster where progesterone and testosterone aren't very high at all. And now we have this roller coaster of estrogen. So some months we're dealing with really heavy periods. Other months it's very scant. It's inconsistent. We're noticing a lot of changes when it comes to energy, when it comes to sleep patterns, mood support. We may even start to have some night sweats. We may even notice just inconsistencies, just not feeling like ourselves, feeling just out of sorts. Like we don't feel like we're in our bodies anymore. Like things that used to work for us aren't working for us. And that continues basically into what I call phase three. And it can definitely get worse before it gets better if we don't make those pivots. Then phase three, we're kind of at the end of that roller coaster where our ovaries have decided they're pretty much done. They're pretty much done being told to do whatever they need to be doing by luteinizing hormone and follicular stimulating hormone. They're just not listening to those hormones anymore. They're not firing off estrogen and progesterone like they used to. And we're kind of just in a perpetual waiting room is what I call it. Because you could go months and months and months without a period. And then all of a sudden, month six, you have one. And so this is the time where we're almost to menopause. We're so close. But our ovaries are just really winding down at that point. And this is where I really do feel like hopefully we've dialed in our metabolic function. But if we haven't, this is a really great time to do so. And it's also a great time to really set the tone and intention for what you want this next phase of your life to be. Because you're about to enter into this new, next incredible phase. And how we take care of our bodies, how we think about ourselves in an emotional and mental state is really going to dictate what our 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond look like. So that's how I kind of describe the full perimenopausal spectrum into menopause. And again, there's a lot we can do to just saunter through that with a lot of ease and grace.
Well, it sounds like the through point is metabolic flexibility.
Yes.
And keeping insulin sensitivity high. So can we talk about why insulin sensitivity and blood sugar balance is important for hormone balance?
Absolutely. Well, they are hormones. We think about, insulin is a hormone, a master hormone, cortisol, a master hormone, thyroid, a master hormone. And throughout this entire journey, we know that there's an interplay between our metabolic function, well, and everything that we talked about, whether it's our mitochondria or it's our, just our ability to just do the things we do every day. But we do know that when we are stable with our blood sugar and we've got happy insulin levels, which a lot of us don't have, Kelly, a lot of us don't have it. Our cycles are much easier. Our brain is firing much better. We just feel better. Like, there's ebbs and flows of our menstrual cycle consistently, but we do know that if we're more and more insulin resistant, that throws our menstrual cycle off, right? The most severe form of that is going to be polycystic ovarian syndrome. But as you can imagine, there's a lot of us that are in the shades of gray. You don't necessarily have to be all the way over into polycystic ovarian syndrome to be like, I've got insulin resistance. We may find that we're struggling with a little bit of estrogen dominance or things are just inconsistent with our cycles, not to the point where we're experiencing the symptoms of or showing signs of polycystic ovarian syndrome. So just note that when it comes to metabolic function and our ability to process energy, it has a huge impact on our reproductive system because that system requires so much energy. Just to run it every single month requires so much energy. And so if you're noticing inconsistent cycles, or they're shorter, or you're noticing that you're not ovulating, or you don't have a robust amount of progesterone signaling severe PMS symptoms every single month, it's worth looking at your blood test. It's worth looking at what's going on and seeing if there's any level of insulin resistance that you're dealing with. But I would say across the board, a lot of us are dealing with insulin resistance as we move into this phase.
Definitely. And what do you think is the main driver of insulin resistance as we age and move into perimenopause and, the whole, all three phases?
Well, I think that those sex hormones are protective. They've given us some leeway. They've given us a little slack, which, amen to that. You know,
testosterone so that I have some serious insulin sensitivity.
Yeah. Right? And so does estrogen too. That gosh, that follicular phase is such a rock star phase for us. And yeah, as those two wane, even growth hormone, you know, as those three wane, we're going to notice these build you up hormones where we don't have that protection. And, you know, the question I always want to ask is like, yes, great. That those are great protective hormones and thank goodness for them, but should we be reliant?
Yeah.
You know, should we have been always
lazy?
Right. Like, and So for me, I'm so grateful for the opportunity of having a major metabolic meltdown at early 30s, because it was such a wake up call for me of what it could look like. Talk about the window of the mirror of what it could be, what it could look like. And even pregnancy is such a great opportunity as well. You know, there's never a time where your body is stressed metabolically than during pregnancy. And it really is beginning to be a litmus test for what potentially is coming down the line for you if we don't have that metabolic flexibility. And I'm talking about cardiovascular disease. I'm talking about type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance. And so, you know, there's a lot of times in our life where we can kind of see what's happening down the line if we don't have that metabolic flexibility. So although, yes, those hormones are protective and yay, we get to be we get to ride that protection to a certain point. I would say the more we don't take those for granted, the sooner, the better off we'll be.
Definitely. I think you make a really good point, especially touching on pregnancy. Like just if you are listening and you've gone through a pregnancy and had gestational diabetes or preeclampsia, like to think about this is a window to the future of your metabolic health and what lifestyle choices, what nutrition choices can you be making to support your metabolic health so that you're pushing off those diagnoses later in life and that you don't have to deal with those chronic lifestyle diseases in a non-pregnant state.
Exactly, in a non-pregnant state.
If you're looking for a multivitamin for your kids and you don't want one of those gummy vitamins with 2 teaspoons of sugar, look no further than Hiya Health. Hiya Health is a pediatrician approved, super powered, chewable vitamin. Both of my boys take it and they call it their chewy. They ask for their chewy every single day. But why I love it is because it contains zero sugar, zero gummy junk, and it's loaded with 12 fruits and vegetables, and supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and others to support immunity, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more. It's non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, and everything else-free. And it's so great because they have an amazing model where you get this cool bottle that the kids get to decorate with the first order, and then they send you eco-friendly refills every single month. Now, for me, the most important thing is the vitamin form. It needs to be in the most bioavailable form for my kids. So many times I turn around multivitamins and they're suboptimal forms. Not the case with Hiya. Hiya has blown my expectations away when it comes to providing our kids with the most proper and easily absorbable nutrients. So I'm so excited to offer you guys 50% off your first order. We've worked out this special deal. And to claim this deal, you have to go to hiyahealth.com/Kelly. This deal is not available on their regular website. So go to hiyahealth.com/Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, to get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Now, I love a multivitamin because this chewable multivitamin is just a foundation of getting them those nutrients when you know they have a hard food day. So I love it. My kids love it. And I want you guys to have it. So go check out this deal.
So let's talk about how we get metabolically flexible and what we do to get it right so we don't have to have excess issues or exaggerated symptoms.
Mm. And I think that anytime in the vein of this conversation, anytime's a good time. So I don't want anyone to walk away from this conversation thinking, oh my gosh, I lost that window. That window is gone for me. That is not true. We always have the ability to pivot and to make changes that are going to really support our body and ourselves. So I just wanted to just speak into that. Now, with that said, is there a sweet spot window for really shifting our metabolic function? 100% there is. And I would say our 30s are the time. If you hadn't shifted in your 20s, that is the window. When you start to notice things, like all of a sudden that half a bottle of wine, it isn't serving you the way that it did at 25. You know, like if you start to notice all of a sudden that crazy HIIT workout or that crash diet that you would do just isn't doing what it used to, this is when it's time to double down on consistency. And so I want to share some of my favorite ways. I think the biggest way I shared earlier is that metabolically healthy meal. Those, you know, we are voting with our fork all the time. And how I like to think about it, even at the grocery store, Kelly, is whatever I'm putting in my cart, kind of like where I notice what is going to be my future brain and my future mitochondria and my future energy self is on the conveyor belt. And 90% of that, I want that to be plants. I want that to be fiber. And so, and I want to see almost practically no packaged food, you know, to a degree, you know, and so a big focus of that. And that's where it starts. And I really would love that journey to be a fun journey. I would love that shopping experience to be an adventure, a discovery of what you could do with fennel or what you could do with radishes or, ooh, plantains are here. Like, what can we do with this amazing resistant starch? And so just starting there and really building a plate based on how you're going to love your gut, your liver, and your hormones. I think that's the big piece there. Fiber being such a major player in this. Next is movement, but doing movement that feels good to you. I'm not trying to get you. I know I'm a big fan of building those muscles. You know, we lose muscle mass, especially starting in our 30s. That's when we start to lose it. And so the more that you can maintain that muscle mass, the better. That's an organ of longevity for sure. So I would love for you to lift weights, but honestly, I just want you to do what you got to do, like get in where you fit in. So moving your body and non-negotiable sleep. I want you to treat sleep like it's a $1 million client. I want you to fiercely protect your sleep. And I want you to not only fiercely protect your sleep, but also be mindful about when you ate last before sleep. So you really give your brain that opportunity to shampoo all the amyloid plaques, all the excess toxins, you know, give your body that opportunity, the liver and the gut to go in restore mode versus being in digestion mode, in metabolic mode. So making sure that you're doing, I would say at least a circadian fast where it's a 12-hour eating window, 12-hour fasting window. You know, I think that that is so, so critical. Just giving our body a break. Your body deserves a break. And the next is going to be for in terms of creating a metabolically healthy lifestyle is walking. If you can do some walking after dinner. Girl, I've worn a CGM on and off for almost 2 years. And, you know, I've used Levels for all of it. Shout out to Levels, and I will have a 98% going into dinner. You know what I'm saying? And then drop down to 91%. And so I know for me that I am definitely, understandably so, the way that our circadian rhythms work, that it's a wind down time for nighttime. I'm not doing jump squats at 10 o'clock at night, like I may be doing at 10 o'clock in the morning. Our body is like, it's time to go to bed, girl. And so at that point, I know that definitely after 6, I don't have the sensitivity that I had at noon. You know what I'm saying? And so we eat early, we eat before 6, and then that's it. No snacks. No late night desserts. We shut it down and then we don't eat again until 10 a.m. the next day. That's how we operate in our home. We like to give ourselves that space to really support our brain, to support our body. And my level score looks a lot better when I do that as well. And so my metabolism is really, really grateful for that. But we always take a walk after dinner. It's right before my toddler's bedtime. We load him up in the stroller. Sometimes he likes to be held, extra metabolic support there. And we walk for 20 to 30 minutes every single night after dinner. And not only is it a great time to connect with my family, it's a great time to enjoy being outside in nature. And girl, it does wonders. My husband and I both wear one. We just watch. It just drops down, you know, and keeps our blood sugar, even if it's been a metabolically healthy dinner, there's still going to be sugar in the blood. There's still going to be a glucose response to some degree. And so I always recommend walking, but walking after meals even better. And then setting the day metabolically. So I'm a big fan of a savory metabolic breakfast. Do not eat dessert for breakfast. Please don't. Don't put sugar in your coffee. Don't do the muffin or the bagel and cream cheese, or you know what I'm saying? Anything that's going to be high starch, high processed sugar, high carbohydrates. It's just going to, I have seen what happens when you have breakfast dessert for breakfast. You don't recover for 36 to 48 hours.
And I don't think people realize that.
No.
I mean, you just made two phenomenal points. Like, I think if people listening did those two things, like they got good at being done with dinner 3 hours, say before bed, or move their body as short as 20 minutes and not a HIIT training, jump squats, like walk, get your muscles excited about the sugar to suck it up. Like that is one of the best ways to lower fasting blood glucose over time, is literally just to end eating earlier and walk.
So easy. And it feels so good too. You do this for 10 days and you will feel different. But also set the tone in your morning. I think the morning sets the tone for everything. It sets the tone for your mindset. It sets the tone for your movement. It sets the tone for your metabolism. It sets the tone for everything. And so if you can carve out that morning to be your morning, and if you can carve out that time to make a metabolically healthy choice, you are gifting your metabolism, your body, and your energy levels for days to come. And if you can consistently do that every single morning, you're also going to be helping to maintain healthy blood sugar levels. So yeah, no dessert for breakfast, please.
I know. And it is like, everything's a habit. So whether it's like, you've gotten in the habit of eating late night on your couch or having that little bit of dessert or needing a little something, like you don't need it. It's a habit. So it feels like you need it, but it only takes a few days to get out of that habit. And if you need to replace it, then remove it. Like, can you have a bone broth? Can you have a turmeric latte?
A sexy tea.
Yeah. Sexy tea. Like, can we go to that? And at least it's liquid in that, and don't have it be liquid sugar, but at least it's liquid. So you're metabolizing it a little bit faster than say like an actual piece of chocolate or something like that, but to replace it and then not feel as attached to it and then remove it. Like that is it. I promise it's just a habit. And I think we have these knee-jerk reactions that we need to change everything, but like pick one of the things that Bruce is talking about, like pick your late night, pick your morning, like pick the movement, whatever is resonating with you. Just pick one thing. I promise it gets like the synergy that's created by feeling proud of yourself, by getting something done, by getting into the habit of walking, or getting into the habit of having a savory breakfast, or, you know, protein rich, low sugar breakfast. Like these things can be life changing. If you get good at one, it will reverberate into the rest of your life.
Oh, absolutely. Like you change that metabolic breakfast to cinnamon in your coffee or your matcha latte, whatever that is. And it's a protein rich, healthy fats and fiber. It's leftovers. I mean, it's so easy. Like just make leftovers from the night before. Like that's what breakfast is, right? You just, who doesn't want to batch a little bit more cooking anyway? I love leftovers, right? And then that really just sets the tone. Now you're not hangry and starving at 11 a.m. and just waiting to get to lunch. And then you're not having that 2:30, 3 o'clock energy crash that you just, the only way out of that pit of exhaustion is sugar and caffeine, right? Like that metabolically healthy breakfast, just getting rid of the cravings alone, it would change your life.
Preach. Preach. Obviously we got along on your podcast. It's like preaching to the choir. I love it. Well, I think what I'd love to know, because we have just a few more minutes left, is, you know, you're a full-time mom, full-time working doctor, author, you have a lot going on, you have your podcast. What does a day in the life of you look like? And how do you, you know, protect your energy and protect your time? Like what have you gotten in the habit of doing to really own your life? I think a lot of us are really reactive, whether it be our inbox, our family members, our kids, you know, our husband or partner, whatever it is, you're like, and you said it earlier, you are the common denominator in your family. I'm very much the same as you. How do you have boundaries, and what are your non-negotiables? Like,
Thank you. Yeah. And I think that's exactly what it is that each and every one of us in our journey has got to get clear on those non-negotiables for us. And so I'm not going to pretend like I don't have support. I do. I have a nanny. I even have a personal assistant who helps to, my husband's in the business with me. He's my operations COO. And so we're integrated. It's an integrated household. It's a metabolically healthy household too, let me tell you, even our toddler. And so, you know, in the morning, we wake up with our toddler co-sleeping, and he's the most wonderful wake up clock I've ever had in my whole life. Get him going until our nanny arrives, and then I am out the door. Don't try to stop me. Don't try to interrupt me. Like I am fierce about this. We live really close to the beach, so there's stairs, and I walk those stairs, and then I do a 10 to 15 minute Joe Dispenza meditation just to set the tone for my day. Mind you, I've had my matcha latte, I've had my water, but I want to make sure that I am outside in nature. I am getting, so it's within the hour of being awake, I'm outside. I'm usually meditating at the ocean, at the beach, and then coming back, I'm usually doing a Peloton workout, usually with Robin or Adrian or somebody, and it's usually weight training. So I'm in my bedroom. I have my weights in my bedroom. Everything's in there. It's my safe space. So I'm really focused. And then I focus on that metabolically healthy lunch. So that's really important to me. So the non-negotiables for me is preserving that morning. It's so critical. And then also preserving my night. I'm very fierce. We have a super sweet night routine with Kingston. And then I usually, about an hour before bed, no electronics. It's all turned off. I usually have time with my husband to connect, you know, just answering really important questions with each other, checking in with each other, seeing how we're doing. And then I'm off to bed. Like fierce. And I have a full-on sleep routine. I take my magnesium before going to bed. I got my water. I have my whatever book I'm reading at the time, not on an iPad, not digitally. I've got windows open, you know, just setting the tone. No harsh lighting. No, you know, I have the blue blockers, all of that, really creating that. We do lavender massages for Kingston. I do a little lavender massage for myself. And so I really protect the bookend of my day. Important, the morning and the evening. That's how I do it. And then I integrate as much play and dance parties and walking if I can throughout the day as well.
I love that. I think, you know, especially as entrepreneurs, there's a lot of expectation, like from the corporate world or, you know, working with other people, your clients, brands, whatever it is that you're doing, there's a lot of expectation that people are working 8 to 7, 7 to 6, and that they're looking outside of those hours. It sounds like you have a lot more fluidity throughout your day. Do you have a block where you're like, these are my working hours, and this is, you know, this is when I get the bulk of my business done? And how do you shut it off?
Good question. Yeah, 10 to 4. 10 to 4. That's when so my nanny's here. 10 to 4. And then it's being present with my family. It's being present with us. And, you know, I'm so grateful that my husband is very aligned. We're very aligned on the same mission. We're very aligned about cultivating amazing family times, being outside. We'll run Kingston to the playground or the beach. Like, it's just, we're fully present with him at that point, creating a really nice experience. And then also when it comes to dinner, it's important that we are eating metabolically healthy, that Kingston has a metabolically healthy dinner too. And so that's a time where we're all together helping in the kitchen. You know, it's growing with Kingston in terms of helping in the kitchen too. But Alex and I do a great job of tag teaming in that time as well. And then always having that walk after dinner, always having that walk after dinner, especially this time of the year. And so, you know, for me, yeah, everything, it's pretty rare that something pops up past 4 o'clock that we need to address. You know, if we're in a mega launch or something like that, then maybe something pops up but usually I'm pretty non-negotiable when it comes to my time as a mom and my time committed to my family.
So important. I think it's just important for people to hear like what hours really look like. I am a little bit earlier than you. I'm like an 8 to 2, but that's because that's when our kids get up from nap. And my whole thing is like, I need time with my kids, and the later hours don't work as well for me because I find that I'm a little bit distracted. I'm not fully present with my boys if Like I hear the dings of emails or I know things are happening. So for me, I tried to work that out where I was waiting a little bit and like starting at 9, but my kids are up pretty early, like in the 5s. And so I've had a few hours with them before the world is like felt like it's turned on and I'm in a present state, but it's like knowing yourself, right? And knowing when you need what times work best for you, but protecting those times and also being unapologetic about what you've built and what your work hours are.
Mm-hmm. And just put away your phone.
Yeah.
Just keep it away from you. I don't have my phone pretty much anywhere near me when it's time for my son.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Well, so that is a rule. Yeah, all of a sudden, and no, I don't have notifications on either. So I can't hear the noise, you know? What I've learned, you know, in the there's rarely an emergency. There's rarely ever an emergency, work emergency. I mean, you know, like I remember getting text messages from my team or just things like that. And I was like, there is nothing that needs to be done right now that can't be done tomorrow. I think that was just that deep knowing. You know, I've overcome I had a lot of child abuse, a lot of child trauma, and the urgency, the need, like it's been a lot of healing, a lot of that. And just getting clear on the non-negotiables that don't trigger me up. Because, you know, even though I've done a lot of work on those, you know, the drive, the urgency, the need to take care of everybody, the need to respond to everyone fast and quickly, that can power back up unconsciously. And so I have a lot of protective mechanisms so that that doesn't happen to me.
Right.
I know me well at this point.
Yeah. Well, I think we're ever growing, ever changing. And as our life changes, as you have children, as you have multiple children, as you move into your own business and you aren't working for other people, it's those like who we are and how we were raised, like maybe it's people pleasing or being a straight A student or following up with people at a certain amount of time or whatever it is, like they creep into your everyday life and being aware of those things and shutting them down if they aren't serving you, I think is one of the most empowering things of being, I think for me as being like, in my middle age, like, you know, as an almost 40-year-old, mom of two, business owner, to be able to own like what's working for me, what's not working for me, and understanding where kind of like those teachings or the things that we learned as a child are no longer serving us as an adult.
Mm-mm. No, I operated in survival mode. The reason why I was on the blood sugar roller coaster forever is I had been operating in survival mode since I was a little girl. And at some point, my body was like, you need something else to kickstart this. And sugar was the easy path in my 20s. I didn't know any better. And then eventually that stopped working, you know? And so then there was this really deep discovery of like, okay, what is this really, you know? And although that seemed like a superpower forever, you know, lots of checked a lot of boxes, was a high achiever for a long time. But ultimately, like when I dove deep into it, it was driven by an unworthiness or a feeling of unloved. And I wanted to change that narrative, especially as becoming a mom, you know, I wanted to break those patterns. And although I love my mission, I love my work, I love everything. I also love my longevity and vitality, and I love my family, and I want to cultivate, you know, what it looks like to, I want to model what it looks like to nourish my body. I want to model what it looks like to really love life and enjoy it. You know, those are the things that I really want my son to see.
And he's seeing it. It's such a pleasure to watch online. It's such a pleasure to just have you here on the podcast. And I know, I'm sure a lot of people are feeling like they're go, go, go. And they're maybe on a blood sugar roller coaster. They're starting to feel those severe symptoms of perimenopause. And they are, you know, they're staring down the barrel at menopause, like to live in an energetic, vital, non-apologetic way that supports them and their family is what you're modeling and what you're preaching and what you're teaching. And it's such a pleasure to have you on the show and to just learn from you. So thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
This was so awesome. Where can people follow along? Where can they listen to our podcast? And where can they learn more?
Mm-hmm. Well, the best place I love to connect is definitely on the Essentially You podcast. It is fully committed and devoted to women just owning their health and owning their journey. We dive deep into hormones all the time there. Instagram at Dr. Marisa. And my books are on Amazon. They're easy to find. And my website is drmarisa.com as well.
We'll put all of it in the show notes so everyone can find you.
Thank you.
Dr. Snyder, what a pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, my dear. Have an amazing day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to Be Well by Kelly. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Learn more at bewellbykelly.com and follow me on Instagram at bewellbykelly. I would love if you picked up my books, Body Love and Thoughty Love Every Day. They're sold on Amazon and at all major booksellers.